Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast with your host, Garrett Michael Conklin. And there it is, all the energy that I'll have for this entire podcast in the first opening 10 seconds. Yeah, wee-hee, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, how you guys doing today? I hope everybody's doing good. I'm, again, a little bit worn out because I just knocked out another two chapters on my new book, so I'm kind of rocking that out. I'm feeling pretty good about this. It sounds kind of ridiculous to say this, but I feel like I'm becoming a better reader. And one of the things I had noticed, I follow this professional voice actor on TikTok, and she talks about all this stuff. And being able to cold read is a really, not everybody has that skill, right? I mean, reading in your head is one thing, but reading out loud and not making any mistakes and having the right flow and the right colloquialisms and enunciation and stress and emphasis and all that kind of stuff is actually a lot harder than you think to do that, not having read this entire book already or read any of these passages, but just cold reading for the very first time and getting it right is actually a lot harder than you might think. So being pretty good at book narration and efficient with it is a totally different thing than just, yeah, I narrate books and every line you have to stop and start and stop and start. So I'm feeling like I'm getting a little bit better at this. I mean, it'd be awesome if I'd be able to read more, but you know, I'm starting to wonder if my voice could even hold up to that because I don't know, I've probably spent the last hour reading and my voice is definitely feeling it. And I've been feeling it at night too. Like it's definitely taking a toll on me to some degree, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, I wanted to do this. So, you know, careful what you ask for in that regard. But I guess my point is, I don't think that I'd be able to do more than one book a week. I don't think my voice could really handle it. And, you know, if you're making like, let's say $400 a book, you know, $1,600 a month isn't really going to cut it in terms of, you know, and it's a, you know, I mean, it's not a huge commitment of time. I mean, like I said, I just knocked out two chapters in about an hour. So that's not too bad. But the problem is the endurance thing, you can't just keep on going and going and going and going. You know, I guess you could argue that me doing this podcast right now is wasting some of my voice, but it's a little different because with this, I don't have to think about what I'm saying and I don't have to worry about if I make a mistake in the word. So for some reason, that puts less stress on your voice. I don't know why that would be true, but that's at least my interpretation or my feeling on it is that it puts less strain on your voice when you can break how you want and, you know, it's funny how tongue-tied you get in these things too. Like, you know, when you're reading a book in your head, you know, well, these aren't regular books. These are like self-help type books, which are right up my alley, right? Perfect. But, they're using bigger words and more complex words, like, you know, colloquialism, like saying, so I just fucked it up right there. Right. So in that case, I'd have to go back and fix it. But when you say things like that in a sentence, it's funny how you can just mess them all up and they don't really come out very well. You know, so you got to keep going back and going back. Sometimes I'll hit a stride where I'm like paragraph after paragraph, I'm just flying through it. And then all of a sudden I'll get stuck on one line for like five takes. I'm like, you know, what the hell? So, but yeah, fun making a lot of progress there, which is a good thing, I think. Overall, I'd like to get the book, obviously. Well, I have to get it done before I start this new job because I think the deadline was September 10th, but I'd like to get it done, if at all possible this week. I've got what today? So I'm on chapter 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 3 chapters to go. So hopefully I can get it all done. Now I'm getting a little more concerned with my editing. I'll have to screw around with the NS1 a little bit more, but I might actually have to go back through and edit out all the silence because it may or may not be catching some of the like clicks and the like that kind of stuff. Can you hear that? Like when I'm opening my mouth just before I'm speaking, you can hear that. And if it's not below the threshold tolerance, you know, the point is with this plugin, you can only set it so much. You can only eliminate so much before you start to actually hear it. and it'll clip out the regular audio because now it's oversensitive. So you can't use it too much. It's got to be just the right amount. So I might have to go through and clean this up a little bit. I'll have to listen back and see how that goes. But that's actually a pretty time consuming process to go back individually and amend and edit all the silence out. So you get this perfectly clean. I mean, it really does sound, there's a pro and a con to it. So it's just on one side, it can get a little bit robotic, right? Because you literally have dead silence in between every phrase. And it's, I don't know. So it can have a little bit of a robotic sound to it, but at the same time, it also has this perfect clarity of sound where there is nothing but perfect sound quality, which is, you know, also really awesome. So I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll see. I might just go through and do some spot editing. A lot of this you can do visually, like you can see where there's little blips in the lines and stuff like that. And if I can get the plugin to sweep those out, then I'll do that. But otherwise I'll have to go do it manually, which isn't a big deal. It's just probably like another hour of editing, but the idea behind this is not to do a bad job, obviously, but do the very best job you can, but also do it in the amount of time that you're being paid for, right? So if this thing is rated at like 3.2 hours and I spend 6 hours doing it, well, whatever I'm getting paid, I made half as much as I should have made, you know? So you also have to be pretty good at your delivery and your editing. So that, you know, the better quality that goes into this thing, the better. The less time you have to, it's kind of like a drywaller, right? If you're got a pro drywaller that can go up there and just throw the tape up and, you know, run the drywall over the seams and do the whole thing in one swipe, that's, you know, going to save you a lot of sanding time later. I don't know why I use drywall references all the time, because I suck at it, I think maybe is why. Like, I have to sand the shit out of anything that I drywall because I'm just not good at it. But you know, if you're a pro at that stuff and you're really good at it, you can just do your mudding and not have to do any sanding. I've seen guys just be able to mud and that the wall's done. It's like, holy shit, how the hell did you do that? That was awesome. I mean, if you could do that all day long, it'd be great. But yeah, I don't have that kind of drywall skill. So same thing here. If you can put down really good quality audio every single time and you don't have to go back and edit and screw around with it, then you're in good shape. The other thing I got to listen for is, you know, any ambient noises and things like that, just to make sure there's nothing in there that crept in while I was doing it that I didn't catch while I was doing it, or that I heard. But I use open back headphones. So they're really for music monitoring moreover than anything else. But so I can hear really, I mean, they're big over ear headphones. They're really nice. They're AKG, K712s. So they're like $400 and something for these headphones, but they're literally like having a pair of studio monitors on your ears. They're dead flat, but they have open back. So they're not noise isolated or sound isolating. So they're not really quiet. I can hear people talking and the ambient room noise because the way the speaker is designed, it's supposed to simulate a real speaker. So I use these to mix my music and they're phenomenal. I have yet to have a bad mix come out of these. I mean, I do have a really nice pair of KRK monitors as well, but because my room is kind of square or rectangular, I don't get a great room sound anyway. So I really just use headphones for everything that I do. And I've really had a lot of success in my opinion. I think that, I mean, I have a couple of different pairs of headphones. So I use the K712s for the majority of the monitoring. But I have a couple other pairs that I listen on to make sure that it's, you know, everything sounds good. And I always go out in my car and stuff like that too. But one of the best ways that I've found to see if a song really sounds good is if you just play it on your phone in through its speaker, the phone speaker. So if you got a track that sounds good on that or a podcast or a book reading or something like that, if it sounds good on the phone speaker, it's going to sound great everywhere because, I mean, those phone speakers are these little tiny mini things, so they have no fidelity at all almost. But yeah, I mean, I highly recommend if you're in a small studio environment, you don't have like a well acoustically treated and designed room, that it's great to have a really nice pair of, powered studio monitors, but honest to God, I don't use them very much. I really don't, because I'm not in that kind of a room. So these headphones I've had are awesome. And AKG is a great company. I had one problem where one of the pieces on the side of the headphone cracked. And I've had these things for years. And I just sent them back and they repaired the whole thing or replaced them with new ones. I don't know what they did, but I got back a perfectly functional pair with nothing broken on them. So really good follow-up after sale service as well. So you're getting your money's worth. I mean, you know, if I have these things for the rest of my life, $400 doesn't seem crazy, but you know, I've said this before, you know, you can start to see how doing this, there's this illusion out there about how, you know, music and podcasting and all this other crap is so, well, maybe you're not fooled by this, but there's this illusion that, you know, this isn't not a professional thing, but it really is. You know, like, I mean, I'm just me talking right now between the microphone, the headphones, and my USB interface, which allows me to connect the microphone to my computer. That's over $1,200 worth of gear right there. Just that. I mean, Logic itself, I mean, I guess you don't have to buy it. I guess you could use GarageBand too, which is free. But if you buy Logic, that's another $200. And my laptop is about $2,100. And then I would say I probably have another $1,000 in plugins and software and things like that. I mean, and then in instruments and outboard gear, I mean, I easily have 10 grand plus in equipment sitting in this little tiny cube that is my little studio room. You know, I mean, it's not big. It's like a 10 by 12 room. You know, I have 4 or 5 guitars, acoustic, electric, bass. You know, I got a bunch of horns. I would say the majority of my money is tied up in some of my horns. I mean, I've got 3 horns that are almost $10,000 by themselves. Just between the 3 of them there. I got the one that was like 3,400. Yeah, like 3,000. So that's 64 and then another 24. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely, and then I have several others as well. Oh, and did I mention I bought a Yamaha 731? I'm pretty excited about that. I've not had a Yamaha in a while, and I have a Thomann flugelhorn that I really like. But you know, the thing is, it's not that this is a real big issue, but it's poorly made, right? I mean, even though I play it really well and it sounds great, it's very likely that it won't last very long because it's just not high quality. It was $400. So I ended up I wanted to get an older Yamaha because I used to have a Bobby Shue Yamaha, a signature model, but they're like $3,000. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going that far off the deep end. So I found an older 731 model online. They don't even make this anymore. And it's just a raw, plain old flugelhorn. And I'm excited to try it because I'm hoping that, not that I'm in any way disappointed with any of the instruments that I have now, but I'm kind of looking for that one that I can just pick up and just, it just has that something. Like, I still have I don't know if it's resistance or reluctance or just something about the Schilke that it just doesn't click perfectly with me. I love it to death in every other way, but it's not quite as bad as the Stratocaster where I can almost not play that thing at all, because of the ergonomics of it. But I don't know how I can play a Thomann that's basically this Yamaha copy. That's why I bought this Yamaha, because the Thomann is virtually a copy of this exact horn, and the Yamaha is a professional level horn. So I wanted to get a high quality bottom sprung flugelhorn, which means the valves have springs on the bottom instead of in the body of the piston. So they're just sitting inside the valve chamber. Anyway, it gives it a different feel and, you know, arguably a different sound as well. So I'm going to get this horn maybe this week or next, whenever it gets here. And I'll probably end up sending it out to Jane Landris Brass just to have them do like a once over, clean it all up, get all the dings, all the bumps out of it, make it look nice and pretty, do a valve adjustment if need be, all that kind of fun stuff. They do great work on instruments. So yeah, but I mean, I guess my point is, you know, I've invested a lot of money into this stuff. So don't be put off by the fact that if you're looking to get into doing this, that it's, I mean, even if you do it on your phone, I mean, cripus, an iPhone is $1,000, right? I mean, that's an investment. I mean, if you're going to be doing a podcast on your phone and you're going to only use your phone, that phone becomes your piece of equipment to do your podcast. And I'm a little bit too old to really get some of the apps on the phone the way you know, like my children can use. Like, I can't even figure out TikTok. They do all these cool videos and like splices and, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how they do it. Like, every time I try to do like a comment or like a duet or something like that, it's like whatever I'm doing is muted and it's not, I don't even know how to do it right. That is my point. So I'm not great on the phone, and arguably all this equipment that I have now that I'm using for this podcast and for everything else, I don't know that you could really emulate that on just a phone. I've not looked into what kind of high quality microphones you could attach to an iPhone through that lightning port or that special kind of USB port that they have on the bottom of them. But I mean, this microphone is eons beyond using AirPods or even just regular headphones. I mean, from a recording standpoint, it doesn't even come close quality wise. And then again, I'd have to take it off my phone, stick it into this DAW to apply all the effects and signal processing that I've been talking about as well. So it's just easier for me to do it right in front of the computer. At least I think, and I, you know, it definitely sounds better. There's no question about that. But I guess what I'm trying to express to you or explain to you is that don't be afraid. You know, this is a career. This is a real thing. Don't be afraid to invest in it. You know, don't feel guilty about, oh, I spent all this money on an instrument. Yeah, well, do something with it. I mean, you got to have those things to be able to do these things. So you might as well invest in what you'd like to have and what you play best and what works best for you, and then do your best work and just keep grinding it out. Because I think the only thing I can say about this is that the more I do of it, the more popular it becomes, whether it's music, whether it's podcasting. And I know I've talked about the music fading, which it is, but the fact that I keep putting more stuff out, I still get people listening to songs, just not in the tens of thousands of plays a day. But I have people that are listening to my stuff. So organically and eventually over time, that will grow into something more. I mean, it might take years, arguably. But I mean, if we look at a podcast, I mean, look at what Joe Rogan has done, but it was like a 15-year journey or 10-year, some long period of time. I mean, if you put your effort into something for 10 years, you're going to see some kind of a result. Now, it may not be what you envisioned, right? Like, I've envisioned all these grand results for me where I would be making a sustainable living and all this other crap at this time. And I've not been able to achieve that yet. But you know, it's different for everyone, and you got to just keep kind of persevering. But I think the most important thing is to go after what it is that really moves you and makes you feel alive in life, and get away from all the crap that you have to do just because you have to do it. You know, and I'm saying this even going into a new opportunity that, you know, I'm very fortunate, and it's great that I have a new job opportunity in that. But quite frankly, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I think I've finally been able to let go of that whole burden of like, oh no, everything's going to fall apart. It really isn't. And quite frankly, if it does, I can go back to doing all of this stuff on my own time and at my own leisure. And I don't know that I'm ready to retire, but I'm just so sick and tired. I really hope that this new position is not like what I'm coming out of now, where I literally have no drive or ambition to do anything for this place. Not the new place, the current place. And yes, I've given my notice already, so yeah, I'm checked out. But it's been like this for months. I just have nothing left to give. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to participate. They don't want to listen. They don't want me to do anything. So what's the point? I mean, I'm completely disengaged in that regard. So I'm really looking forward to a new start, a fresh start, where I can feel, you know, as if I'm part of something real. I'm just super concerned about the fact that I'm not going to be home very much. And that really, for some reason, that's really bothering me a lot. So much so that I'm still applying for other jobs and looking at other remote jobs, because I really have become, I guess I'm very accustomed to this kind of freedom to just do whatever the hell I want, whenever the hell I want to do it. I like that. I can't imagine anyone wouldn't like that. I mean, I guess there are people that want to go into an office, but the honest truth is none of this stuff is my passion. You know, technology, I like it. It's interesting. I find it intriguing and challenging to my intellect. And I'm interested in managing and leading and mentoring and working with people. But I don't know. I guess I'm, you know, having like new job jitters or whatever you'd think that wouldn't happen. I've worked at like 20 different places, in so many years. So you would think I wouldn't feel that way, but, yeah, I'm having a little bit of like a crisis moment where it's like, is this really the right thing for me to do? Or do I just have to do this? You know, I mean, arguably I could have stayed where I am right now, but I hate it so much that I can't stomach doing it anymore. So I just had to find something else. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting, like I said, new job jitters and I'm getting a little concerned. And I'm very, you know, cautious because the people that I was just working for said very similar things to me, you know, in different ways. They're different people, obviously, but said very similar things like, oh, you know, you're going to be the future of this company and this is great. And we can't wait to have you on board and everything you're doing is awesome and keep it up and don't stop and push us and challenge us and disrupt us and all this shit that turned out to be a complete lie. It wasn't real at all. It was just a bunch of bullshit. So that really starts to change your, it's not that I can't let it go and I can't move on or anything. It's just, but it, you know, I mean, you get scarred up a little from situations like that where people have just outright lied to you. And I'm so sick and tired of having people like that. I just don't want people like that in my life. Tell me the truth. Be honest. Let's get through this together. Let's work on this together. Let's be sincere. Don't just shoot your mouth off and then walk away having done absolutely nothing other than make noise come out of your mouth. You didn't do anything, man. Now is when we actually have to do the work. Let's figure out how to solve these problems, not just walk away. That's crazy. That's not collaborative. That's not being a team. That's not being a mentor. That's not being a leader. That's being a fucking idiot. You're a clown. Why would you do that? Doesn't make any sense to me. So but you know, that does affect you when people are telling you things that are just not true. I mean, that's crazy. And I would have respected them more if like after 2 months they fired me and were like, hey man, we made a mistake. This was not a right fit for us. And cut your losses right then and there rather than let this extend on for like 18, 20 months, whatever the hell it's been, somewhere under 2 years. And then I'd have it be this crappy experience. And then, you know, in the discussion that I had over the resignation, it's like, well, you know, Garrett, make sure that you know that you can use this as a reference. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking use you as a reference. Are you shitting me? You're the jackass that did all this. I mean, I'd like to see you out in public and just thrash you, to be quite honest, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to do that. I honestly, I've moved past all that. I'm not mad and angry about this because I have something else to look forward to. I have a new chapter in my life starting in a couple weeks. And, you know, all this crap was, unfortunately, the way I see it now is that, yes, it was necessary. Maybe it was the reason that I'm going to have the new position that I have. And that was why all this took place. But if not, it was just basically a waste of my time. You know, I really gained nothing other than more distrust of people that I don't know because of the way that these people conducted themselves as individuals. And they got a lot of work to do. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, scapegoat anyone or take the responsibility off myself because I certainly did plenty of things that I probably could have done better or they were just outright wrong. Hey, that happens. You know, I mean, I'm fine admitting that, but I was amidst people who were not willing to admit that. And that reminds me far too much of like people in our government and these people in control that just can do no wrong, even though they're fucking everything up and ruining everything for everybody else. Oh, it wasn't my fault. Nope, it's not me. I'm standing strong. I did everything right. I'm good. I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing. It's like, dude, you really don't though. You don't know what you're doing and you're making a mess of it. And 15 people left your organization because you suck. That's why. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, how many more people have to leave before you get it? You know, I guess maybe they look at this on the positive side is like, well, all the bad eggs are leaving. But, you know, I don't see it that way. I see high turnover like this from a lot of people in a short period of time as a real marker for a real cultural an attitude problem in an organization. A real toxic environment exists where, Why would you want to be there unless you absolutely have no other option? Why wouldn't you be looking? It's just, this place sucks. It's just not a good place to work unless you're oblivious to all this other crap that's going on. And you know, whatever. I guess I've given them enough of my time, right? And talking about it and bitching about it, but I'm starting to feel that this has actually been helpful to me. So Garrett, this has been helpful. You know, in that talking it out and bitching about it and getting all that negative energy out of me has helped me a lot to, you know, kind of move past it and sincerely let it go. Because I think that's another really important point is that, you know, you can say, oh yeah, I'm fine. I've moved on. No big deal. It's not a problem. But, you know, you can also be lying to yourself when you're saying that. And for a long period of time, I would say this entire duration until I landed another position, I've been pretty butthurt about this whole thing. You know, it definitely has not sat well with me. I don't agree with them at all. I think they're incorrect and they made the wrong decision. But, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. The decision was made without me. They just decided it. But I think sincerely now, by having spoken about it so many times and vented and just shot my mouth off in general here on the podcasts, it's been very therapeutic and helpful to me to be able to move past all of this crap and, you know, start a new opportunity, a new chapter in my life, doing something that hopefully will be as rewarding as I hope it and it was described to be. I'm looking forward to that part. I'm looking forward to some positivity. You know, I am looking forward to getting out of the house. I'm just a little concerned about these other things because I, you know, honest to God, I mean this wholeheartedly, I sincerely wish that I could do this for a living. You know, podcasting and I mean, the music would be nice too, but I've even kind of moved away from that. I just enjoy doing the music. And if it makes money, great. If it doesn't, eh. I'm really more interested and excited every day to get up and do this podcast. So it would be really like a dream come true if this thing were to actually jump off and become like a primary source of income. That would be really cool. Even though that's not what I set out to do with it, and nor was that the intention. Even still, I mean, this is really just to help me. But and I've argued that without regular life experiences, you know, I might run out of stories to talk and tell because it seems like every day I go through some fucked up thing that gives me a great episode the next day. So maybe this is just the way it's going to play out for me is that I get to do these things part time. But I really enjoy the flexibility and the freedom and the, you know, just the opportunity to do this. So, you know, I know this sounds cheesy and corny, but I really do appreciate the fact that we have this these kind of platforms available to us today in society, because, you know, remember I was born in 1972 and none of this shit was around back then. You couldn't do, there was no such thing as a podcast. And if you wanted to do something like this, you had to be on the radio and you had to have a broadcasting degree. And there was all these things that it was only, you know, a very select few people got to do. And you had to go through a lot of scenarios to get there. Whereas now, if you have a phone, you can do this. If you have a phone, you can become famous on lots of different social media platforms. And when I mean famous, I mean like financially viable. You can become successful enough to support yourself if that's something you're interested in doing. And I mean, I think that's just such an amazing thing. I mean, you know, I bitch about technology and how we're misusing it and how a lot of these apps, you know, are time wastes and time sucks and everything else like that of your life. And maybe you should get out there and do something else. But at the same time, I wouldn't have a forum or a platform to do any of this either if those things didn't exist. So I really like doing this. I mean, if you can't tell, I don't know what other monologues you might listen to, but I mean, I'm never running out of words. I don't know that everything that I say is of value to anybody other than me. And even arguably then, I don't know that it's all of value to me either. You know, but it is good to go back and hear all these things because it gives me a different perspective. Like I've said before, it gives me the opportunity to kind of go back and go, oh, you know what? Maybe I should feel more grateful for these opportunities, even if they're not making me money. I get to do them and, you know, I'm enjoying what I'm doing right this very moment, just talking to myself and thinking about other people that maybe I'm helping. Maybe other people are enjoying the things that I'm saying. I mean, that brings me a lot of joy as well. So not only does this help me in the sense that I get to hear what I'm saying and rethink about situations that I'm pissed off about, that I'm venting on the podcast about, but I also get to kind of listen back and be thankful for the opportunity to be able to do this. And that's no small thing, man. I mean, having this kind of a forum, even if nobody's listening and I have no followers and I don't make any real money doing this, having the opportunity and the ability to do this is a huge thing because, like I said, as a kid, this you couldn't do something like this. I mean, I guess as a ham radio operator, you could just talk to a few people, but it wasn't like you could broadcast like, you know, technically hundreds of millions of people could listen to this podcast and hear all this dumb shit that I'm saying every day. I mean, that's a great opportunity. And I guess if you look at it as that opportunity and you commit and put the time in for real, then, you know, things will start to move forward. Oh, that said, I got a couple emails. I know they were spam, but I did get a couple emails the other day. Was it this morning? It might've been this morning. Let me look in my trash. Hang on. I'm sorting. I know I read one of them anyway. Hang on a second. Oh, here it is. It was called Elastic Pod. I got an email from a couple emails saying, hey, your podcast, we see you have so many episodes and you're starting to grow. And has anyone heard of transcription for podcasts? What the hell would you do that for? This says the transcription service designed specifically for podcasters. This is called Elastic Pod. Broaden your reach with the transcription tool that automatically grows your listener base. I have like no clue how this would grow my podcast. And it's not free. So I'd have to pay for this. I don't know. The only thing I can imagine that would help me get more people to check this out is to have better search results and actually promote this thing way more than I do. Cause like I said, I only really post these on Twitter because I'm to some degree afraid of people that I actually know listening to this and hearing me talk shit about stuff that I probably shouldn't be doing in public or saying about myself or others. So, you know, I haven't really been promoting it in a traditional sense or in any sense. I'm just letting it be discovered. But I mean, if you just search for Garrett Michael Conklin podcast, it's definitely going to come up. Yeah, I mean, literally, if you type in Garrett Michael Conklin podcast in your Google search bar, the very first link is the Apple podcast link to this podcast. And like 10, I mean, it's just, they're everywhere. I have, wow, quite a bit comes. So yeah, I guess this is not, if you're actually searching for it, it's not going to just come up. Like I have, none of these are like sponsored, so it's not going to actually, show you the podcast, like as a, you know, like if you're just doing generic search for podcasts, I won't show up in search results in that regard. But yeah, if you search for me specifically, it'll work. Weird. I'm on all these weird, I guess Anchor throws this thing all over the place. There's a lot of different platforms that this can be on. Strange. But I guess, you know, really Anchor being owned by, Anchor being owned by Spotify, they probably want you to listen on that platform for sure. Yeah, I don't know. So I think I screwed something up here. I was looking at how you can like, there's a lot of different options where, I don't know. Like I'm looking at I know I'm getting all off topic here, but I was trying to set up something on my profile the other day that's called listener support, but it required like I disabled subscriptions. I can't imagine anyone would want to subscribe to this. So that's silly, but the listener support thing is cool because it allows me to do like, support this podcast with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. So, right, to be able to live off of it. Yeah, include it in the show notes, all that good stuff. So, I guess I have it in there because as it stands right now, the only way I make any money at all on this is from the sponsorship ad that I put at the beginning of every podcast that you have to suffer through 30 seconds of me telling you how great Anchor is. And Anchor is great. I mean, I legitimately use it. So that's why I do it. It's not untrue. I actually use it. But that's the only opportunity I have for monetization on this podcast at this point, probably because I don't have that many followers, but I would gather that as you get bigger, different opportunities, come to fruition, I guess, or present themselves to you in some way, shape, or form where you can have different sponsors that may want to put, you know, like Joe Rogan for a while had a bunch of sponsorships that he had at the front of his podcast that was honestly kind of annoying, but, you know, I really don't know how you monetize this thing other than that. But now I have one episode on here that I didn't really want to be locked. You'd have to subscribe to hear it. That's kind of dumb. So I'm not going to do that again. That seems, maybe I should make like some, well, I guess it doesn't matter which one. Maybe that's why there's no listeners on that particular episode. Because it's a sponsored episode. I don't want it to be that. I want you to be able to listen to it. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, that it's Up in Spirits is the one I did yesterday. It seems to be sitting there and it's just kind of doing its own thing. But if you look at it on Spotify, it says locked, explicit, and paid. So I would assume I can't play it. So if I click that, support this podcast and get access to all episodes. By supporting this creator with a monthly subscription, you'll help them make more episodes. You'll get exclusive access to their show feed, including any bonus episodes the creator releases. Go to the show notes or visit the creator site for more information. So if I go to this show, yeah, it's locked. That's stupid. I'm gonna fix that right now. Give me 1 second. Okay, so I fixed that episode anyway. Apparently you have to have at least one. I think that would be kind of cool though. If I actually got subscribers, I would make exclusive content. We could have, like, I could have podcasts that are like pretty raunchy and pretty raw. Actually, what I was thinking of doing is if I ended up getting actual subscribers, if anyone ended up doing that, and I was able to provide content that's, you know, specific to something, like I'd want to solicit from, and I want to do this now anyway, but I'd want to solicit from the user base, from the subscriber user base, you know, like, what do you want me to talk about? You want me to tell you about, you know, the shape of my head or the fact that I don't like long fingernails or, you know, I mean, grooming habits for my beard, you know, anything weird like that, I think that would be off the general topic. But be very hyper-focused on what people are asking about. I think that would be really cool to do something like that and provide like special content for the people that do subscribe. But I guess I'll kind of cross that bridge if anyone ends up subscribing to this thing at any point and then makes a formalized request that they, hey, they want me to talk about this or they'd want to maybe do a podcast with me or, you know, who knows? Something fun like that might, we'll see. So I guess it'll show up in the link to all these. I can't tell yet, but some of these platforms, I got to say, like Anchor in this way kind of isn't, I don't know, this isn't super intuitive and it doesn't seem like there's a ton of options for this thing anyway. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit strange in that sense. Oh, so it does say sponsorships on for this episode. So I guess I could, every episode you could sponsor now, but I mean, $5 a month. You think anybody's going to actually do that? I mean, it seems like it's a tiny amount of money, but it's still like $5 a month for this content or to support me. And hey man, I'd really appreciate it, but I would still need like a shit ton of sponsors per month to be able to actually do this full time. So I kind of feel like what they're saying here is a bit exaggerated. It's a little bit, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's misleading in some way. Anyway, let me, I came across this. I've been looking at the Urban Dictionary a lot lately and I found this word on there or this saying that I think is actually pretty funny. It's called yak shaving. I don't know if anybody, and I don't mean the literal, like you'd get a yak and shave it, but I think that's where this originally came from. But yak shaving is any seemingly pointless activity which is actually necessary to solve a problem which solves a problem which, several levels of recursion later, solves the real problem you're working on. This is so awesome because I think yak shaving is a very, very good term that I could have been using for the last 18 months in this job. We've been doing a shitload of yak shaving, just all kinds of just hair everywhere, busted shears, you know, whatever noise a yak makes, lots of yak noises. There has been a lot of yak shaving going on in my life in the last year plus at this job. It's pretty funny. But there's some crazy stuff. Anyway, the origin is a MIT lab after 2000, or probably from a Ren and Stimpy episode. I don't know if you guys remember Ren and Stimpy, but oh God, so funny. I used to have a Ren and Stimpy like plushies. I wonder whatever happened to them. They were so cute, especially Ren. He was, you know, the little chihuahua, but pretty funny. Anyway, yeah. So yak shaving. Don't do any yak shaving today, huh? You know, try to spare yourself a shaving of the yak. That's pretty funny. All right. Anyway, let's finish this up. All right. We got a poem here from, guess what? Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy by Gerrit M. Conklin. Published 2016 by Focal Publishing. Such a fucking idiot. Anyway, this one is entitled De-Stress. De-Stress. I'm trying to de-stress while being put to the test. There is never any rest for someone who's the best. At least in my own mind, I try too hard most of the time, and never mind what kind, I do this with everything I find. So it's really quite exhausting, like cake without any frosting, but still ends up costing the same as someone's accosting. So then why bother, you ask? I am forbidden to not accept the task. By myself, I am governed behind a mask, and I will probably end up dead at the bottom of a flask. No matter what I try, the stress will not subside, and it never lets me scry or even learn to fly. All I want is some peace, and I guess for someone to take away this beast. If only for a few minutes at least, but I end up crushed between the crease. Deep breaths in and out, stop the frantic but silent shout. That is not what this is all about. Of that I have no doubt. I cannot de-stress, that much I have expressed. So I live on within this mess, and for that I digress. Well, see what I'm saying? I'm getting better at reading this crap too. Like I came off a good read this morning. I did two chapters, so I'm kind of able to read. I kind of got to get in this weird zone. Like it's all tempo and like alignment for me, like so that I can read, like look ahead and be saying words, but you know, at the right speed or the right tempo for me, then I have a lot more success with doing these narrations and reading poems and things like that. But I think that was a pretty good one. I'm pretty freaking stressed most of the time. And I'd really like to figure out a way to not feel so stressed all the time. But, you know, in any event, the idea behind this episode was being thankful for the opportunities. And I think we should all kind of keep that in the back of our mind, or even in the front of our mind some days, is that, you know, we really have some great opportunities in this day and age with technology and with just things you might want to do. And I really do believe that the sky is the limit, but I say that with the following glass ceiling. Not everybody's going to make it, man. Not everything is going to be. I might try to make this podcast the biggest thing ever, and it may never make me more than $20. You know, I mean, I don't know if it's in the cards for me for this to go on to do something bigger, or just this is just something I do with my time. But either way, I feel like there's some piece of legacy in all of this because we're putting it out there for the whole, you know, community of people across the entire world to be able to listen to this, wherever your internet allows you to connect to things like this and hear it. So I think that's pretty cool. And I think we should really be thankful for the opportunities that we have today, because again, I come from times when these things weren't possible, not at least and not in the way that they are today. So with that, have a good day. What's today? Wednesday, hump day. So enjoy your hump day. I'm looking forward to, wow, this week is cruising by already. And before I know it, I'll be starting a new job. So yeehaw. All right. Take it easy. Talk to you soon. Thanks again for listening. And, you know, support me if you can. I'd really appreciate it.